Ireland is getting older. That presents a unique set of challenges that we, as a nation, as a population, are going to have to rise to. I'm Peter Kavanagh, and this is The Old Country, a podcast about ageing in Ireland brought to you by Active Retirement Ireland, in association with the Community Foundation, as part of the UN Decade of Healthy Ageing. Hello and welcome to The Old Country. I'm Peter Kavanagh, and with me today is the President of Active Retirement Ireland, Anne Drury. And thanks a million for joining us. We are here today, the first episode of a new podcast series to celebrate the UN Decade of Healthy Ageing. And I suppose I'll start off with a big question. What does healthy ageing mean to you?
Thank you, Peter. I think healthy ageing for me means good quality of life as we age. And I think that's very important. And to do that, I think, well, I need to look after myself very well. I need to eat well, I need to sleep well, and I need to exercise well. And I think if you do those three basic things, you manage to stave off a lot of the degenerative diseases and illnesses, which allow you then to have a very good quality of life, and you can stay active in your life as you age and do all the things that you want to do, because I think that's very important. So I think anybody who wants to age well should start well in advance.
Mm. Yeah, that's a really good one, actually. Yeah, you're going to plan for aging long before it becomes a reality.
Yes, yeah, I think, I suppose as we age and as we get older, you suddenly realise you can't do all the things that you could do when you were younger. So you have to plan for that. And that's something I've done. I've always been interested in healthy living. I've done a lot of work, done a lot of courses in holistic medicine and alternative medicine. So I suppose that was something that was in my psyche since I was in my 30s. For instance, I did a lot of work on nutrition. I did psychotherapy. I teach yoga. So that was built it was part of my philosophy to look after myself as well as I can. And that's something that I would like to spread, or just to try and get people to live as healthily as they can. And as I said, by good diet, adequate sleep, and lots of exercise, then the rest follows on.
Yeah, we'll pick up on those because they're very interesting, the idea of looking after diet, sleep and exercise. We'll pick up on those in a few minutes. But first of all, just your own story. You are president of Active Retirement Ireland. You're into your second year of that role now. How did you first get involved in Active Retirement? Because I don't think I'd be off base saying that you got involved in Active Retirement at an atypically young age for typical members.
Yeah, I was trying to count that up and I actually didn't. Something must have happened. I retired, I think it was in my late 50s, I'm in my 11th year of retirement. I'll be 11 years retired in September of this year. So yes, I was quite young. I had planned to I started working when I was 19, going on 20. So I had my services years, I had 35 years done. And it was always my plan to retire at 55. Now, life, as I said, got in the way. I took some career breaks, maternity leave, extended maternity leave. I job shared. So I was about a year or two behind my plan. So when I retired, I was fairly healthy. For the first year, I think it's always advised that you don't get involved in too many things.
Yeah.
So I think I walked the roads of Multifarnham. I think myself and my husband, who was unemployed at the time, we had a great regime going and we walked every road and we'd be back and get the paper and come home and read the paper. That was kind of my regime for a while. But then I happened to bump into our B&B member, Mary Daly, who was a founding member of our group. And I don't know, through conversation, I happened to say to her that I have a diploma to teach yoga. So, of course, Mary put her thinking cap on and thought, well, would you like to come in and teach yoga with our Active Retirement group? And I said, yes, of course. No, I would love to do that. And I did. But to do that, and for insurance purposes, I joined.
They signed you up.
Yeah. So I suppose I never looked back since. That was about 2011, 2012. Wow. I'm not exactly
not
sure.
Not 9 or 10 years ago, regardless. It's a good solid decade.
Oh,
in,
yeah,
I'm
almost 10, yeah. And once I got in, that was it. I joined then as a member. And, of course, it was the ideal time for me just after retirement. And I do know for people who have retired, that is, you know, leaving your workplace, a workforce, is a very, it's a huge milestone in your life. And I always remember when I did my pre-retirement course, one of the presenters said, you know, when you retire, you're not Anne the teacher or Mary the nurse. You lose a little bit of your identity, or the identity that you worked with for or lived with for so long. So I suppose that always made a big impression of me. And I would say to anybody who's retiring, keep your identity.
Yeah.
You have your identity. You're still the same person. It's just that you've stepped back.
I remember one of the members of Active Retirement I was talking to her once, and she had this wonderful turn of phrase. They used to call me doctor, now they call me love. You know, and you do that role that you have, that you occupy in your life, be it as a teacher, as a nurse, even as a homemaker, parent,
yes,
a spouse.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, you tend to accidentally, I suppose, or definitely not deliberately anyway, but just consequently just step back from that and become... And the danger is that you just become another older person. You sink into the background. So really, in many ways, getting involved in something that you know that you feel valued in. So you went in and you became the yoga instructor. And that's helpful, I suppose, to make that transition from one role that you've had for, you know, the 30 odd years you've been teaching to move into something else where you're respected for what you're doing, for what you're contributing. I imagine that's quite beneficial when you do retire.
Yes, because, you know, you have all that time on your hand. You're still coping, you know, trying to get into this new routine of not getting up and going out to work every day. But also you have to change that mindset. You have to remember, I'm entering another phase of life.
Yeah.
And that I think for a lot of people that changing that mindset is difficult to accept. This is the stage of life you're at. Enjoy it. Make the most of it. Because I saw a very good saying this morning, I think, when one chapter ends, you wait for a new chapter begins. And I think when you retire, when you, I suppose, accept retirement, then you begin to enjoy that next chapter. And that's where Active Retirement Ireland came in. Because remember, I had only been living in Mulling, in Multifarn, for about 3 years before, 4 years before I retired.
Oh, sure. You were a blow-in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very much so. So while I had a lot of my working colleagues, they were all my friends and they were the people that I would have socialised with. And I know the very first Christmas, what I missed when I retired, no Christmas party. And now, since I joined Active Retirement Ireland, there are lots of Christmas parties because, as you know, Peter, you'd have maybe your ARA night out and you'd have your region night out. And if you're involved, say, on the board, you might have
get another night out, absolutely.
You know, so you have that. So that was one thing that I really missed my first Christmas, was not having that Christmas party. So I suppose there's a vacuum,
it's
a certain vacuum, but certainly Active Retirement Ireland does fill any vacuum for any retiree, you know.
That is such a good way of putting it, that there is a vacuum that develops in your life. And I suppose what the research would indicate is that it particularly affects men. You know, as they go into retirement, that first year after retirement, it's actually quite a dangerous year for a lot of men, a lot of Irish men who, you know, like you've explained there, they socialise with their work friends and they put a lot of stock into the title that they held in work and the responsibilities that they held in work. And when all that goes and it's just you, or it's just you and your spouse, or it's just you and your spouse and the kids, and you have to have a new routine, a new regime, a new way of doing things. You're not getting up and going to be someone important anymore. That vacuum, if you don't fill it, it can have some seriously negative health effects.
Absolutely. And I think it's very important that we get into the routine. I think most, you know, it's always advisable, you know, not to sleep in too late in the morning, to get up, you know. And I think that's something I battle with all my life since I retired. Well, I don't really have to get up. Sure, I'll stay up and watch another bit of television. Yeah. But actually, it's very good to have a routine. And I think that's active retirement. We always say, for our members who enjoy coming to the activities, it gives me a reason to get up in the morning. And I think that's where we need, you know, we're, as John Donne said, we're no man is an island. Yeah. If you're a social being and you have been a social being, you need that, and it must continue in some way. And I found Active Retirement Ireland filled that role for me, you know.
So to that reason for getting up in the morning, and I've heard it framed beautifully by some members. There's one woman who said to me, "It gives me a reason to put on makeup," and that really frames it. You joined Brosna Multifarnham Balnafid Active Retirement BMB, as we call it, if we don't want to spend 20 minutes every time describing the name. That was already long established and one of the biggest and more active groups by the time you joined it.
Yeah, it was about 3 or 4 or 5 years that we celebrated a big anniversary there. Yes, it was well established, very well established, and lots of activities. Mm. I remember I signed up for about 6 different activities and then suddenly realised, and you can only do one, I think, when I went to the art for a while. Yes, there was a great variety, and there were all things that I hadn't done in my life that now I thought, well, now I have the time and I can do these things. So I think that's one of the thing that, you know, you can take up new hobbies, you can take up new interests after you retire. And if you join any organisation like Active Retirement, like we have a book club, you know, we have our art classes, we have our physical activity classes, we have our outings, holidays. There's a very wide list of activities to take part in, you know.
Yeah. I remember there's someone who had your chain of office once a couple of years ago, Tom O'Mahony. He once said at a meeting when he was one of the founder members of the Active Retirement Group in Wicklow, and he said, "We'll do an a la carte menu of activities. You can do the ones you want to do, and you know, if you want to play bowls, we'll set up a bowls group. If you want to go walking, we'll set up a walking group." And the way Tom used to tell the story, he said a hand came up at the back of the hall and said, "Well, what about those of us who don't want to do anything?" He said, "If you get me 10 other people who don't want to do anything, I'll hire you a bus and you can go nowhere."
Very good. Yeah, very good.
But it is around that idea of just trying to provide something for, I mean, you can't really do something for everyone, but something for as many people as possible, I suppose.
Yeah, because our club became our association became very big. At one stage, we had over 300 and up to 350 members.
Wow.
So that's how, and we're a small little village outside Mullingar, very quaint and beautiful village. But, you know, there are so many people in the hinterlands who just wanted to participate.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I think that showed that there is a great need for people when they find themselves retired, or, you know, the children have grown up and they may have been working in the home, that we all need an outlet. And I think you spoke there about the men. We found the pickleball in Multifarnham was great to get the men in. We also found the wood carving was excellent. And they love to go on the holidays with their spouses and that. So, you know, I always think it's about having a cross-section, a variety of activities, and try to have something for as many people. Of course, you can't have everything for everybody because life wouldn't be worth living. But yes, I think, variety, as my father used to say, is the spice of life.
Yeah, look, very well said. You just mentioned pickleball there. There may be people listening in who've never heard of pickleball. I know it's something that you've sort of pioneered out in Multifarnham. And it's something that the organisation Active Retirement Ireland has tried to give a platform to. But just tell us a little bit about pickleball and why was it so popular?
Pickleball started about 5 or 6 years ago. It's well established now. We were approached by Westmeath Sports Partnership to pilot it. And I was part of that at that time. I was good and fit then. I had a lot more time than I have now. And everybody just loved it. It's a bit like tennis, but you use a table tennis bat and you use a hard ball. I always compare it to like an indoor hockey ball.
Ah, okay.
And it was started in America by a family who was on a long, you know, on a bank holiday weekend, and they wanted to play some games, and they didn't have any equipment, and they improvised.
Oh.
And that's where it started. And it's very suitable for all generations. And we find in Multifarnham, it's very intergenerational. We have young people, you know, from all age groups play. When before the COVID, we had about 3 or 4 sessions, maybe a week.
Wow.
Two during the day and one at night. And we had 3 anyway, but it has really gained traction. I love it. I played it up until about 2 or 3 years ago. My husband loves it. I remember one of the guys said to him, I was saying to him, gosh, Peter, I'm not very fit. And he said, but Anne, sure, it's like walking around the kitchen. And I said, I think it's a little bit more challenging than that. But this man was very fit and is a very good player. And true, because I suppose you still, it's about badminton, tennis court size. But it's great. It's great. And we have hosted the Ireland Championships and international. And it has become, we became so good at it that actually, it has expanded. We probably will, when it gets back again, it may have to go to a bigger venue.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a mark of success, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it brings us right back to just what you were saying earlier on around, it's not quite the secret to healthy aging, because it's known, it's out there, but diet and exercise, really, really important. And I think a lot of older people do tend to neglect that exercise part of it when they retire. And you might find in particular with people who, that when they're working, they are very physically active. But then immediately after retirement, have become very sedentary, very relaxed. I might potter around in the garden, or I might walk down to the shops, but that's about it. Mm. And it's not really enough.
No, I think we need minimum 30 minutes exercise a day. And if we can do that, I think it's, you know, I think it's good for, you know, I suppose what we've been doing in Active Retirement Ireland is the Go for Life Games have been a tremendous help to our members, because it works on balance, coordination, and as well as keeping fit, and you're having a bit of fun and you're meeting up with people. I trained to be a Go for Life pal, a physical activity leader.
Yeah.
And when I had time to do that, and then we had all the games that went along, and we had the games in DCU, you know, the competitions. So we need physical exercise is good for you physically, but also it's very good for you mentally.
Yeah.
Because you get all the endorphins going, and, you know, so I try and walk as much as possible. You know, now if I'm busy, I will try and catch up. But I think, you know, nowadays most people have a pedometer, and try and get your 10,000 steps a day.
10,000.
Or as close as you can.
That's...
I mean, I manage 6,000-7,000 on a good day. If I don't walk, I wouldn't get in as many. But, you know, for cardiovascular health, you know, for all aspects of your health, I think to keep physically active by exercising, and then you can participate, you know, if you keep active, you can go on the tours and walk around, like if you go to Bloom, like we would have been doing, you can walk around all day and stay on your feet, or as long as you need to, and enjoy all the attractions. If you go on holidays, you know, you can you know, go for long walks on the beach and keep up with your friends. So I think exercise is really vital to a good, healthy life.
Yeah. And, you know, as we age, we will inevitably slow down a little, but it doesn't mean we ever have to stop. And I think, you know, one of the key things that people have a tendency maybe to miss out on is that there is a level of physical activity
That's
that
right.
you can keep up,
even
into later life.
Yeah. And I think you always, no matter what activity, physical activity you start doing, take the baby steps, approach it slowly and build it up gradually. I find if I go for a phase that for maybe I'm busy and I haven't walked, well, I get back into it again and I'll build it up gradually until I get up to what I would have been doing. I have a dog, so and I walk by, and I'm very lucky. We have a lovely lake. We have loads of lakes around Multifarnham, but I walk by Loch Ool, and there's a forest there as well. So I get the forest, lovely clean air, and I get the air from the lake. And
while the dog walks you.
Yeah, well, but I call it Multi Yellowstone, because it's just
beautiful.
It's just so peaceful.
That's lovely.
Yeah,
so it is a beautiful part of the world. There's no doubt you're absolutely blessed where you are.
Yeah.
The idea of physical exercise and the benefits that it has for your mental health, I suppose you can look at that in two ways. There's the physical reaction that if you are, as you mentioned earlier, if you are physically active, you get the endorphins going, you feel better. Mm. You know, it's good for all aspects of your health. But there's also the socialization aspects as well, because you don't do all of these exercises alone. Obviously, you can't play pickleball or bowls or table tennis on your own. Mm-hmm. So you're using physical activity basically as a gateway to stay socially active or get socially active if you haven't been for a while. And that's quite positive.
Yes. And I think, you know, when the RTE crew came to our ARA there in April when we reopened, we had the pickleball display on. But one of the gentlemen who was interviewed said, I love playing the pickleball, but what I really like is, and what he was delighted for when we reopened, was to meet the friends again.
Yeah.
It's all about the interaction and, you know, play, get your exercise, but you chat with your friends when you're playing and you have the fun, like when the shots go right or wrong. But when you take a break, then you sit down and you chat in between the games and you are socialised for whatever length of time you're there, and you've caught up with people, and you go home happy, and you're happy enough if you're at home on your own for a couple of hours. Yeah. Well, I've had my socialising for today. It. That's great.
And you're at this event, whatever it might be. It could be bowls or pickleball or walking, whatever. And you're physically active in fits and starts, but you're socially active right the way through, start to finish. And it's really, it's something that people miss out. And it's been a very difficult year and a bit for people.
And I think, you know, when I said, you know, to stay physically healthy, you have your, you know, your diet and nutrition, your exercise and good sleep patterns. But then you have to work on your socialization and your, you know, your whole, I take a very holistic approach to help, your mental health, your spiritual life, you know, that everything is in harmony and that it's in balance. And I think it's all about having a healthy, balanced life.
So part of that, no, sorry, go on.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, because part of that the people overlook, and I'm fascinated that you brought it up as a priority, because this is so interesting to me, is this idea of getting enough sleep or the right amount of sleep. So not too little, not too much.
Yeah.
That is, I think, completely overlooked, really, in the discourse around, you know, staying healthy as we age. I don't think enough people speak about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, what's your experience been? The older people that you've worked with, the people that you've been in your active retirement group with, that you've seen as president of Active Retirement Ireland, do enough of us think about the sleep we're getting or not getting?
I think it's something that we need to look at, because it does say that if we have regular sleep patterns, it possibly helps us to live a longer, healthier life. I think, you know, we all have the odd night, but is, you know, where we may stay up late on a Saturday night or a Friday night. But I think it's well recommended that you do have regular sleep pattern, and that you get up earlier in the morning and get that lovely bright sunshine. Yeah. And, you know that's when, you know, the light, and to get the daylight and to make the most of that, and to get as many, you know, to get your regular, because you can slip into habits. I know if I say I'll go to bed at one, I can get into that habit at 1 o'clock at night, and that's not good. I prefer to be up early in the morning. I love when I have to come to Dublin or to get up early. It's going back again, I suppose, that reason to get up in the morning.
Yeah. Crucial.
And I do think that for everybody to live healthily and live a long life healthily and well, it does protect you against, you know, a lot of those illnesses that down the line.
Because
you know?
that is the key question. Like the statistics bear out the fact that we are living longer. And the open question is, are we living healthier now?
Yes.
And that's a real challenge for us as a society.
Yeah. And it goes back to what I said, you start your habits early.
Yeah.
And I think we all like to live long, healthy lives, but we want a good quality life as well.
Yeah.
And that's where I think you try and stave off those degenerative diseases, cardiovascular, you know, the arthritis, all of, you know, those illnesses that can come on. And look, we all know that the longer you live, you know, it's harder to do all the things you did and keep all the bits and pieces oiled up, but just work at it as much as possible.
Yeah, and I suppose it's a question of prioritisation. Like, you won't keep going with everything or doing everything forever. And as you age, as you say, you do slow down, but it's about not stopping. And
it's about getting the balance.
Things. Yeah, yeah.
Get that balance, you know. I suppose, I think, it's looking at what you enjoy in life, what you want in life, and prioritising yourself as well. Because, you know, we've all worked long lives and we've reared children. You worked either inside or outside the home, or you did work maybe inside and outside the home and reared the children. I know what it's like, and it does take your toll on you. And I think my health has improved tremendously since I stopped working, because you don't have that running around. But again, I think that's why it's good to keep up the good practices, eat well. Not to drink too much coffee and, you know, those stimulants that eventually will cause maybe a little bit of damage. But just to eat healthily and have your treats. Of course, everybody needs their treats.
Put everything in moderation.
Balance and moderation, yeah.
So, Anne, you were elected to the office of President of Active Retirement Ireland last year, 2020, and then re-elected for a second consecutive year this summer, just gone, not too long ago at all, as we record this in late July. You've spent just about your entire presidency presiding over an organisation that's locked down and just itching to get back out there. You must be as excited as any member about the prospect of getting back to normal.
Oh, I just, you know, that day in April when we opened up and we were able to go back to playing pickleball, that was a momentous day just for everybody, because I suppose it was the first step in getting back to some kind of normality. And gradually we've increased, you know, we've opened up further and further. And I feel I've emerged, because I've been in Dublin twice this week, and this to me is like getting back to normality. Next week or the following week, I'm going to my first presidential visit to an ARA, and that's down in Waterford.
Oh, fantastic.
And I was when I got that invitation, and I know that most likely it will go ahead. Yeah. I don't think what could stop it, you know, there'll be no more statistics that could hopefully prevent it. It's outdoors. And to me, that just is amazing. But it has been difficult for our members. They've been amazing. I think the resilience and that I've seen among our members has just been amazing. Because last March to summer was a very difficult time. Yeah. We did open up a bit during the summer. But those 4 months, I think March, April, May, maybe 3 or 4 months, you know, when we didn't know what COVID was about.
Yeah.
We had to stay, you know, in our back gardens and, you know, we had the cocooning piece. I think we're in a much better place now. We've got our vaccines.
Yeah, that's a real crucial part of the puzzle, isn't it?
I think the companies who developed the vaccines so quickly and tested them and trialed them, I think they are amazing. And most member of our members are vaccinated or very close to, I think after July the 19th, almost men in our age cohort should be vaccinated. So we're in a much better place now. But that doesn't take from what happened. And for members who lost family members, for ours who lost members, I'm always very mindful we've got through it. But sadly, we've lost some members. Yeah. Some hours have lost many members. So even on that day when on RT, I just had to remember those people, because while it's wonderful to be back, there is a little tinge of sadness in certain places, and it's very important to remember that. But our members are looking forward to getting back, getting out. And my own hour is anything to go by. We had a quiz yesterday. Outdoor, I suppose we're improvising.
Yeah, and we've been improvising for quite some time now.
I think you know, and it's. I think again, it's down to attitude. We are where we are. We make them, and that's something my philosophy in life. You know, you are where you are. You make the most of it, and you get on with it. We do know more about COVID now and all the variants, and hopefully, when we open up, when we get back to indoor meetings again, and I hope that'll be fairly soon, that'll continue.
Yeah, I really hope so. I think it's something we can look back in the coming months at those words and just, you know, I'm incredibly hopeful that we look back and we think, you know what, we did. Mm. We were where we were and we got through it. And you're right to bring up that tinge of sadness. It is important. And it's an important part of the aging process. And it's an important part of healthy aging is dealing with grief and coping with loss.
Yes.
So it's vital not to lose sight of that as well.
No, I think it's very important. And for many of our members, you know, we will try and support our members as they emerge. And to, you know, to get them back into life again. I just noticed myself coming back. We've stopped doing things for maybe 15 months. To remember all the things you did. And I went shopping. I hadn't shopped for ages. And I had forgotten, like, is it €1 or €2 for the trolley?
For the trolley, yeah.
And where do you put it? And then when I'm, you know, getting the tickets online and getting them on, you know, because you have to get them in the ticket machine. You know, you have to remember again.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we try and support our members as much as we can as they emerge.
Yeah. But we will emerge.
Oh, we are emerged. We have emerged and we will continue. And hopefully we will get back. And, you know, Christmas parties are planned. Council meetings are planned. So we are getting back to the new norm.
Well, listen, that's a real note of hope to finish on. Anne Drury, President of Active Retirement Ireland, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Peter. Most welcome.
The Old Country is recorded in the podcast studios, McGuinness Place, Dublin 2. For more information, check out thepodcaststudios.ie. This podcast is brought to you by Active Retirement Ireland as part of the UN Decade of Healthy Ageing. This podcast is supported by the Community Foundation for Ireland, and thanks, as always, to our media partners, Alice PR.